Good morning. I don't know if you noticed, but you committed to a lot of things in that song. If you were singing for yourself, sometimes when I sing that song in particular, I just picture this guy who's sort of like fluttering around everywhere, doing good deeds, and maybe that's what we should be all about. You know, if you did all those things, then I really don't need to preach this morning because, man, that was that's good stuff, and it's going to be right in line with what we're going to be talking about today. Great to be here. I always enjoy times where we're together, but I'll tell you what: if you are here for class and you're here today, you know, there was a lot of truth shared. You know, there was a lot of good things being talked about today, things that really matter for the spiritual life. And I don't just mean the adult class. I mean, I'm sure these things were happening with our teachers and the children over in the classrooms as well. But just seems like, man, this was a good time to be together. And it was a good gathering of God's people doing what we ought to do, which is search through His Word, find His truth, help it to match up with how we're living life and how we can get better and how we can, you know, better resemble who Jesus is. It's just been one of those kinds of mornings. So I hope you feel like, I don't know, I look around, I know we're low in numbers, but it was kind of like, but man, oh man, if you were here, it was like, man, you benefited. This was good. Good to be here. As they say to Jesus, you know, I always think of that. You know, it was good for us to be here. And that's certainly the case today. It's just a, you know, the class and the sermon will tie together along with the Lord's Supper. You'll see. It's just all going to be one big package. And the songs, too. Should be good. Who knows? It's been good so far. See, that's what I'm trying to do. Say it was so good so far. If it sort of tanks here at the end, you know, you already got your money's worth, so to speak. So that'll be good. It is just a great time. We're getting things together. A time where camp is drawing to an end, but still the big push at the end for these young kids. So please be praying for camp with the campers that are 8 to 10 years old. It is a time where we're starting to plant those seeds. We're trying to get them to understand that you know, life in the kingdom is so much different from life in the world. And they begin to love it. They begin to crave it. So that by the time they get to senior week, which you know, Nina was at senior week for the first time as a counselor this year. They start to open up. They start to realize, I want to be a part of this, not just at camp, not just at Raccoon Creek State Park, but for life. Sign me up for this kingdom. I want to find out about it. I want to be a part of it. So that's what we do at camp. That's what it's all about. So pray for camp that it goes well. Glad you're here today. Let's go to the Father in prayer before our lesson. Father, we just come to you and we appreciate the example we see in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He came here as the ultimate servant. He could have been greater than Caesar, but instead he was a humble baby and never rose to great power in this world, but demonstrated a servant's heart, humility, and then was given all authority by the end. And we thank you, Father, that that is what the kingdom is all about. Help us, Father, to follow in His footsteps rather than the pattern that the world holds out. Thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. There are times when there are trends happening in the world, and you look at them and you begin to realize the world has left me behind. And then you realize that's just fine with me. I don't understand selfies. Okay. I don't even like to say the word. It sounds weird, like it's something weird you do. I don't know, selfie. I don't even like the term. But I look at people doing it all over the place. You know, it's all over. And it's all over Facebook, it's all over the internet and that sort of thing. In fact, it's become such the thing to do for people younger than me that people have almost gotten themselves in trouble. All right. There was a kid whose teacher was going into labor, and so she's there in the middle of class saying, "Oh my goodness, my labor's beginning," and people are calling for the nurse, calling this and that, and the kid turns around and takes a selfie with his pregnant teacher in the background. I mean, it wasn't inappropriate as far as, you know, but it was inappropriate for what it was. There was various examples of people taking pictures of themselves. I'm going to say it that way. Taking pictures of themselves with their cameras at the 9/11 memorials, and then most recently, I don't know if you heard about this, but this girl, this poor girl, who took a selfie of herself at Auschwitz. And it wasn't a solemn picture, but it was like, hey, look where I am. And she came under extreme heat. She's still, I mean, it's extreme, the criticism she's getting, to the point where she's fearing for her life. And if you hear about her story, because the news people wanted to make sure, you know, that they heard the rest of this story, and it is, it's a heart-rending story. There's more to it than just the simple picture. She wanted to go with her father, and he died before he could make it there, but she made it there, and it was for him, and it was like a tribute thing, and it really went wrong, because it just looks so insensitive. It just looks so trite. And so all of us, I don't know if younger people, you know, were offended by that, but certainly, like I said, those of us who the world has left behind in its various trends, we look at this and we say, this is craziness. How could this person be so insensitive? What's going on? And I think it's simply that the world is always in love with itself. The world is constantly wanting to be in the middle of a selfie, right? That's what the world's all about. And I think it will only continue to be this way. There was actually an interesting study that found that we may be hardwired for empathy and sharing and community and that sort of thing, but at a very early age, we learn selfishness. So early that it's like, well, who knows if, you know, is it nature, is it nurture? So they're trying to figure that out. But it's so early that we learn it. We pick up on it like that. And we become selfish. We become self-focused. A lot of what we talked about today in class was around that subject, around that topic. That selfishness seems to be so natural. To me, when the scientists say, you know, we may be hardwired to have empathy for each other, I say, you know what, that makes sense. Because I don't think God made us to be selfish. But we pick up on it. Because this is a cursed world. We live under this curse of sin. And so we live in a selfie culture. My favorite selfie of all, however, was from David Drake. And I'll have to tell him I used this later. But he posted this on Facebook as his profile picture. It's my favorite. Some of you know David. He was Air Force, and he and his family were with us for a while. And this is his profile picture on Facebook. I think it's fantastic. He nails it, you know. I told him, I can almost see your chiseled chin there. It's pretty good. I like it. But we're talking about serving others. And that's the message of the gospel. It was mentioned a few times today. Trying to get the focus off of me. If you can begin to think about others, just think about how to serve others and love others, then that focus begins to shift and you begin to enter into a different kind of focus, different kind of lifestyle. And it's contrary to what the world wants you to be all about. Serving others is what we're going to talk about today. Somebody recently, I think it may have been in a previous class of Jan's, we were talking about how we as the Restoration Movement are very good at looking at God's Word and convincing people, this is what you need to do to be saved. This is clearly spelled out. These are the things that are involved every time someone is saved in the New Testament. Have you done these things, or have you, you know, studied this? Do you believe this? Have you been baptized into Christ? And we're good at that. We do that all the time. That's an important thing. What then, however, happens is that we lose the focus on, well, how then should we live after that? How do we not only do what Jesus said to do, do the commands and follow the steps to become a member of this kingdom, but then how do we live in this kingdom? Where do we go from here? How does that look different from the world? And I think one of the main things, not the only thing, one of the main things of these two words, serving others, that will be the mark of a Christian, somebody who's serious about following Christ. Serving others would be a natural outflow, a natural outcome. When you do take God's word seriously, you become a Christian, you enter into this kingdom, this is what's going to begin happening. A removal of the focus from yourself onto others. Because you have a love for God, and God says, well, I want you to love your neighbor. I want you to turn around and share and serve and help others. Lee Pellegrino and I share a birthday, and we may also share some other kind of mind meld, because look at this first passage I have here. This is exactly what Lee read around the Lord's table today. And I think Lee did a good job of describing the scene. This is the upper room. This is the scene where Jesus had his disciples around that table, where he talked to them about the new covenant, where he broke the bread and shared the wine. And here, in John, he says, I want to show you, it actually says in John, he wanted to show them the full extent of his love. And certainly that was going to culminate in the cross. But it began with him putting on that towel, bending, stooping down to wash his disciples' feet. I don't know if you've ever had that happen. Have you ever had someone wash your feet? We did it once in campus ministry. It's easier to wash somebody's feet than to have your feet washed. I'll tell you that. It's hard. It's a hard thing. It was hard for Peter, though. And he's uncomfortable with it, because this doesn't make sense. You are taking the form of a servant. You're taking the role of a slave. Jesus, my teacher, my rabbi, this guy I respect so much, I've left everything behind to follow you. And here you are on your hands and knees with my grubby feet. And so Jesus, in summary here, says, if then your Lord and teacher, me, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do just as I have done to you. Now there are some churches who said, all right, Jesus has commanded this, and so every year we are going to have a foot washing ceremony and ritual, and we will make sure that gets crossed off the list as things we must do. And I think we can all understand he doesn't mean that we have to be foot washers, but he means be like me. Have this attitude of a servant, a slave among each other. In other words, serve others rather than looking to be served. Love others first. Put them first. Put yourself way back down on the list. We know this is his focus, because he teaches about it over and over again. Look at Matthew chapter 20. But Jesus called them to him and said, this is when they've been arguing about who's the greatest. He says, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be your slave, even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now Jesus looks at James and John, these others who are wanting to be first, wanting to be the greatest. Well, who among us is the greatest? They're asking themselves. And Jesus says, you know what? All right. You want to be great? Sounds good. I want you to be great. Be great. Be first. Be number one in serving others. Be the best at being humble. What do you call that guy who leads the marching band? The drum major. Be the drum major for humility, for being humble, for being a servant, for being a slave. You do that. I want you to be first. Be great, but be great in this category, serving others. And then you'll be like me, because notice what he says there at the bottom. Because I came here not to be served, but to serve. And then ultimately, to give it all up as a ransom for many. So I want to put together some of the things we learn here. Just a few points to begin with. First of all, Jesus came to serve. He made that clear in both of those passages. If you think about that, this is a surprise. This should come to us as a surprise. Not those of us who know Jesus or know the New Testament and understand who he is. But think about this. God comes to earth. God, who has, you know, been in heaven, or has at least not revealed himself as a human being, is going to. What do you expect? I expect lightning. I expect earthquakes. I expect something incredible, amazing. I expect that when he gets here and starts walking down the street, people are running and prostrating themselves, and then they begin to build a temple and a shrine so that, you know, he can have somewhere to stay and live, and they come from all around bringing gold and jewels. That's what I expect, because that's what he'd be worthy of worship. worthy of power, authority, dominion. And Jesus says, I came here to serve. That's the example I wanted to give you. Because as God the Son, I could have demanded all those things. I could have shown you great, amazing things, and I will, but my primary purpose, I came to serve. I did not come to be served. That is the Savior that you and I are following behind, whose sandals should be right in front of us as we're walking through life. He is a servant. His example is service to others. Think about some examples. Think about how he goes through the whole day, you know, with in Mark chapter 1, people are constantly bringing him the sick, bringing him the sick. Think about the time when John the Baptist has died and he's trying to get alone by himself and the crowd still follows him. And he comes and he heals the sick, constantly serving. And it summarizes his life in the book of Acts saying, going around doing good. That's what he did. He came to serve. What a shock. But I think it plays into what Jan was teaching about today that says the amazing thing the New Testament teaches is that God is love. And when love became flesh, it served others. Something to think about. Second thing, we follow his example when we serve others. We follow him. We are doing Jesus-type things when we're serving others. It doesn't have to be the big showy stuff. Sometimes camp has these jobs where they're big and showy in front of everybody, and sometimes they're really gross, and you're all alone doing these things. There's nobody looking over your shoulder when you're in that latrine, and you got to sweep it out, you got to put the bleach down, and it's burning your eyes, and you just don't feel like it, and I'd rather be back in my cabin. So I'm going to take about 2 minutes on this, and then head back to my cabin and take a nap. But you're serving. You serve others. In the most mundane, simple, ordinary tasks, you are being like him. That's what he's like. And so when we serve, we're trying to be like him. It's hard for me to even think of other ways of being like Jesus in this world. You know, I can't calm storms. Can't walk on water. I can't even, you know, give my life as a spiritual ransom. I can't do any of the stuff that he could do. But serving others, that's where he says, you come be like me. You come be one of my disciples. That's what it's going to look like. And then this third thing here, humility, not superiority in the kingdom of God. It has no place. In fact, it does have a place, but it's not with you, Mike. It's not that you are going to lord it over anybody. He gets the superiority. God gets all the authority. And we get to serve. Humility. That wonderful, amazing, very difficult quality to foster in ourselves. Where first we shift the focus. But, you know, shifting the focus and loving others or serving others, it's a little bit painful. There's some discomfort when that happens. You give some things up. You give up your time. You give up your energy. There's a sacrifice. There's things that you'd rather do. And then serving others, it's sort of, there's a speed bump in all the things I'd rather do in life. But you begin doing that, and you develop those humility muscles that need to be exercised, need to be worked. Begin showing kindness and love to others. We talked about in class. I'm just going to talk about class. If you're not in class, hey, you know, you're getting a summary here, a review. But if you don't feel like it, you know what? Love others anyway. Do the things that love demands or love that would lead you to until you do feel like it, until your feelings catch up. Well, you know what? If you feel like, you know, I'd rather, you know, live for myself and do the stuff I want to do. Well, you know what? Live for others for a while. Just do that for a while. And then you'll start to want to a little bit more. Because humility and thinking of myself lower than others is the best way to live. And you begin to feel, yeah, this is good for me. Now, one more teaching from Jesus that I wanted to separate out from the others connects directly with our theme scripture for today. Also, caveat, before I forget. I highlighted the word steward in gold. In the ESV, the word is manager. And I translated as steward for a reason you'll see in a minute. But just so you know, there's full disclosure here. Okay. So Luke chapter 12, this is again Jesus. And the Lord said, "Who then is the faithful and wise steward whom his master will set over his household to give them their portion of food at the proper time? Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, he will set him over all his possessions. But if that servant says to himself, 'My master is delayed in coming,' and begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and get drunk, the master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him and an hour he does not know, and will cut him in pieces and put him with the unfaithful. And that servant who knew his master's will but did not get ready or act according to his will receive a severe beating." So this is a parable, and Jesus is talking about a household. And he says, well, basically, think about it this way. A master leaves the household, he goes on a trip, and he leaves a steward or a manager in charge of the other servants. All right, and his responsibility is to make sure they get what they need, that they get the food they need, that they get the wages they need to be given, that the household is being managed well. Now, a time passes, and this steward is looking around saying, well, I guess he's gone. What do we do? Well, let's just live it up. So he indulges himself. He begins drinking too much. He begins beating the servants, mistreating people. And then the master returns, finds him unfaithful, finds him not worthy. Now, the reason I wanted to make sure I included this, because we learn a couple more things about service here. The first is that we are the stewards. We are the ones expected to serve others. God says, I'm entrusting you, my people, with some things, and I want you to use it to serve others. And if you don't, well, then there's a price to pay. The time to serve is now. I want you guys busy about this work right now. I want you doing it. I want you serving. I want you being, you know, people who are humble enough, like I am, like I was, showing you that example. Humble enough that you're willing to put others first, that you give them what they need, so that you can show yourself to be a faithful servant. The reason this connects with our theme scripture is because it's the same word. So you see here in verse 10, as good stewards, that's the same word. Now, in this part of the ESV, it says stewards. So I felt at liberty to change it in the other one. If you want to know the Greek word, it's oikonomoi. And it means this. It means steward, manager, somebody who's managing things in a household. So I think, here's Peter writing, and there are certain times, and this would be an interesting study, I think, but there are certain times in 1st and 2nd Peter where I think Peter remembers. I mean, you have the Holy Spirit operating, no doubt. But I think Peter's remembering Jesus actually saying some things. And he's taking those teachings and saying, yeah, okay, now when I write to these folks, as I'm writing, he didn't know he was writing 1 Peter, per se, but I'm writing this letter, I want to tell them they are stewards. They've been given some things, and they need to use it to serve others because of that parable, and I remember it, he would say. Above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling. As each has received a gift, use it to serve one another. And here we go. As good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks, as one who speaks oracles of God. Whoever serves, as one who serves by the strength that God supplies. In order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Peter's saying, look, we are stewards. We are these guys who have been given things, and we need to use it to serve others because the time is short. If you have your Bibles, you'll notice that in verse 7 of chapter 4, he starts that whole paragraph by saying, the end of all things is at hand. And so with the end in mind, Peter's thinking to himself, well, what should we be doing? We need to really be taking what God has given us and serving others with it. To be an example of service, to reach out in humility to others. The system is basically like this. It comes from God. He gives me gifts of grace. It talks about varied grace. You haven't been given the same kind of gift that I have. And we talk about gifts all the time. But we've been given various gifts. And then what happens is it's not supposed to end there. The fact that Jim can sing and lead songs, it shouldn't just be for Jim in the shower. You know, and that's it. That's as far as it goes. I don't know if Jim sings in the shower, but you know what I'm saying. It shouldn't just go that far. It needs to go further to Hank and Rita and Fred. I tried to pick three people whose names wouldn't be out in the audience. You never know when you're going to have a Hank, a Rita, or a Fred. But I use the gifts God gives to serve others. That's what he says in 1 Peter 4:10. What God has given me, I then need to be using in service to others. That is the plan. It's the way it's supposed to be working. And then I'll be a good steward. I'll be the one who doesn't simply hoard it all, and I become drunk with it, and I become useless. Did you hear the warnings? Did you hear the warning? If I come back, and you're not about my business, what I set you to be doing, he warns them. But when I am, when I do serve, and I'm trying to, you know, you, let's give an example here. He says, one who speaks, one who serves. Let's say you have the knack for plumbing, and there's a poor widow who really needs a plumber, and you're over there pro bono, fixing her pipes, doing this, you know, getting everything tight, and everything's good, no water's anywhere. You're serving. But he gave you those talents and gifts. So what ends up happening is, the glory just goes all back to him when you realize I only do this because he's allowed me to do it. He's enabled me to do it. He strengthens those who are serving. He gives the oracles, the words, to those who are speaking. None of it's from me. That keeps me humble. So I can be out there serving. I can do the things that a servant would do, but he still gets the glory. He still gets all the credit for the good that I'm doing, the good that's happening. So I'm going to end with some questions. Yeah, they're tough questions. Tough questions for me, I should say. The first is, what has God given you that was meant for service to others? What's he given you? What talent, what gift, what abilities has he given you? What opportunities has he given you? Do you already know? Have you already tested it out? Have you already, you know, flexed those muscles to see where he might want you to serve? I guarantee you, he will then point you in more and more directions, open more and more doors then. There was a woman who was sitting in a very comfortable rocking chair, listening to the news. And on the news, she heard that in villages in South Africa, these small village hospitals, they were delivering babies, but they didn't have any receiving blankets, and they were wrapping the babies in newspaper. That's all they had. And this woman's name was Mavis. And Mavis was sitting there and she thought to herself, now that's just horrible. So she got up and started getting some supplies together, went over, sat back down, and with trembling hands, took needle and thread and began stitching. She made 200 receiving blankets and quilts. And found an agency that would receive them, make sure they got over to the places that needed them in South Africa. She's 91, legally blind. Now, I'll tell you, there have been times where I hear something like what happened there in South Africa. And I also say, where Mavis's story and I, wait, let's start with the comfy chair. I'm in a comfy chair, and I hear the story. Something horrible is happening somewhere in the world. And I say, as Mavis did, oh, that's just horrible. And that's where our similarities end. That's where my part ends. In my empathy, sympathy, man, I feel for those people. Mavis, however, 91 years old as she was, got up and did something so 200 babies could be wrapped in a blanket instead of a newspaper. That's serving others. That's saying, I have a talent. I can do some things. I'm 91, but I can still do some things. So give me something in my hands. Let me work. Let me serve. I can still do it. My time hasn't run out yet. I can still do it. Second question, maybe the hardest one for me. Are there any ifs in your way? You know, that opportunity comes up, and that place where you can jump in and serve, and then you say, you know what? That's a good place to serve. There's an opportunity. If I have time, If I'm feeling good that day, because you never know. Or if I get enough sleep that night, if. I have a lot of ifs. And I can imagine ifs. If the ifs aren't readily available, I can start saying, yeah, I bet it would be difficult because... And I can start to come up with reasons why I might not be able to follow through with this. Most of that's just happening right here in my head. I'm not talking to anybody. But I'm convincing myself out of it. I'm talking myself out of service because of the ifs. There's so many conditions. Life's busy. I got four kids. How many times have I said that? Well, I got a lot of kids. I'd like to help, but gee, a lot of kids. Then somebody says, well, whose fault is that? I say, my wife, of course. Next question, because I don't like that second question. Next question. Who gets the glory when you serve? This is a tough one. This is a tough one for ministers. Just it's a career thing where it's just a, because you're the minister. Oh, that's great. Wow, what a great minister, because you came and visited a hospital. You know, that's tough. Because you don't, Jesus, he served and he didn't claim the glory. You know, he didn't become great and by his serving. He instead stooped low when he served. God gets the glory. So does he get the glory? Or do you make sure it's well known when you are out there serving? You know, are you finding ways to make sure the trumpets do still blare every once in a while when you step into a room? You know, it's hard. This is a hard one. How do I make sure he gets the glory? Well, I've known people who all they talk about is what God has done for them while they're serving. You know, they have a testimony about what God has done in their lives. And they do that while they're serving. And they turn things around. They try to help the focus stay off of themselves. Sometimes it's difficult to do. But giving God the glory is our priority. Then finally, will God find you serving on that last day? There's so many other things that can absorb your time and mine. Things that can pull us away. I can procrastinate so well. I can put things off. Will he find us faithful? Will he come and find us as drunken stewards? With the gifts that we've been given just laying in a pile, unused, unopened? Or will he find us at work? Not getting the glory, but serving. Willing to serve. Willing to make a difference. Willing to be a little bit more like Christ each day. Trying to live like he did. Trying to show humility. Trying to love others. Looking for opportunities. Being willing to be seen as a servant or a slave. Will he find that? We don't like to dwell on the fact that the end could be a very tense time. Could be a, as Jesus said, a time where there's severe beatings, right? So instead, think about it. You have time. You right now have time. Don't let it just depress you and say, oh yeah, man, I missed a lot of opportunities. I did too. We all have. But starting now, now is our opportunity. Now is the time to say, serving others is going to be my priority. I'm done with the selfies of life, the selfie philosophy of living. Let me serve others the way Jesus did. And I know that by following him, and that I'm going to be serving others. That's just part of the whole process. That's how it's going to happen. That I can do my best to allow God to have the glory. That I can put aside any of the conditions that I'll put up to give myself an excuse away from the work he's called me to do. It's a simple idea, and we find so many ways of complicating what Jesus said was simple. Here Peter says, if you received a gift, use it to serve others. Because he was a God who sent his son as a servant to show he loves the world. And he was such a servant that he was willing to go to the cross for you and me. This morning, you may need to respond to that God and say, you know what? It's been too long. I've been waiting too long to step into that kingdom where it's all about service and love, honoring each other, and not about puffing ourselves up. If you want to become a part of that kingdom, then come forward as we sing so that you can learn maybe, or maybe have somebody pray for you and help you in understanding what the next steps would be for you to take. If you need to respond, come as we stand and sing.